Welcome to another Carlin Lads Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, I'm a little bit confused with a lot of the...
About what? What are you confused about, Robert?
About, you know, 1,000 people can go to a Crows game, only 500 people can go to a SNFL game, 4,000 plus people can go to a rally. Where's the consistency?
Well, there isn't any. So you don't need to be confused about it. It's just no, don't expect any consistency and then you won't be confused. It's simple.
Well, look, one thing I really want to pick your brains about is Olympics. Now, with you've been an Olympian in Commonwealth Games, competing in the world titles and everything, there's obviously periods that you set yourself for, et cetera, et cetera. Now, with the Olympics being put off till 2021, which is the first time an Olympics have been held out of in an odd year.
Yeah, I mean, Olympics have been lost before because of things like war, but this, as you pointed out earlier, would be the first time that it's actually not following that 4-year cycle.
Yeah, it's hard.
It is pretty strange, isn't it?
Hard to grasp. I mean, I suppose as human beings, we sort of settle into a way of thinking and just expect it to be every 4 years and. To be in 21 instead of 20, it's good that it is in 21, but it's just, how does that affect an athlete, in their preparation?
Well, that's hard for a lot of people to understand the Olympic cycle, and from those sports that where the Olympics is the biggest competition. If you're playing your normal team sport and you've got your home and away season followed by finals, that's an annual event, isn't it?
Yep.
Whereas for many athletes in not all sports, but like my sport of track and field, the Olympics, that was your big competition every 4 years.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was the big competition for that year. And so you had to prepare for that. I mean, so I think it's going to be a really difficult time for many. I mean, it's going to be one of those things. Some athletes will actually benefit from an extra year.
Yep.
So they'll get some rest, they'll have an extra year of training, and they might not have been quite there for making the team or reaching qualifying standards, etc. And the sad thing will be, of course, for some athletes who might be at the end or towards the end of their international career, and this might be too much. You know, can they hold on for another 12 months? How would they go? And maybe, they've now got to compete against a different group of people. So the other thing, of course, is, in track and field, we had a major competition every year. So you had Commonwealth Games or World Championships. And, of course, as you rightly pointed out, the Olympics was always the big one that we wanted to be at and compete at. So not only have we lost the Olympics, a lot of those sports have lost their big international competition, like a World Championship or whatever it may be. And so, and we're no orphans there. Because other sports are in the same boat, but for athletes that rely and that is their thing, where they're going to compete in that one big event, that takes a big chunk out of their sporting life.
When I think about events such as the 100 metre sprint, which is 10 seconds, these athletes compete at such a high level that they have to be sort of right on the money, and they have to have the races, et cetera, et cetera. So having a rest for such a long period of time, surely that would put them out of sync.
It would be interesting to see, won't it? Because we could make assumptions on whether performances will go down or up or stay the same. But, normally if we think about, if we use again track and field, which we are using as an example, athletes would be competing in the European summer, getting ready for the Olympics. And so they would have been using big competitions in Europe and other places to actually say, well, I'm going to pick those competitions and I'm going to get myself in my peak form for the Olympics. And that's the other different thing about a lot of individual sports from team sports. In team sports, you've got to be able to compete over a long season to be able to make the finals, where in individual sports, you often have to just peak at that very time when you have to perform, which is, often just a window of opportunity. And so getting those other competitions prior is part of that peaking process. And they're critical. But they will happen next year, so they'll get that opportunity, we hope. I mean, we're assuming that things seem to be improving at least here in Australia, not all places.
And New Zealand.
Well, New Zealand are COVID-free, aren't they?
Yeah.
And we are not there yet. So well done, New Zealand. Maybe we can just have everything happen in New Zealand.
No, thank you.
It's a beautiful place.
It is, it is. And I intend sort of visiting it in the next 12 months or so. But I'll tell you, with you mentioned team sports. Now, team sports, you know, they have their pre-season training. They have their peaks and troughs through a season and lead-ups to finals, et cetera, et cetera. Now, athletes would have similar, but it would be along a different lines. And you as a top-level Olympian and Commonwealth Games hammer-thrower, what did you do through your training and through your competition? Did you actually go into some competitions knowing you were going to underachieve, but using it as a base to aim to the Olympics?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I like to compete. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, so I would compete in competitions here in, you know, SA, knowing that I wasn't in my best form, and that wasn't the case. Like, I think even in your heavy training, when you're preparing, and like distance or time or whatever is not your, it's not what you're after, it's still, we found a good still to have a hit out. One of the things that we learned sort of being over in Europe and, you know, training with people over there is that you should never be too far away from your best. And in the early days, like periodization, people would go into very heavy sort of what we call winter training and you'd be a long way away from what you're capable of. And then the hope was that you would come good when it counted. And probably more towards the end of my career, I sort of worked out, well, sometimes you don't get there. And so you can still do lots of volume training. But the Russians, for example, we learned from them, you should have a hit out every week. Like, you should test yourself no matter what every week. And so we would use competitions here, local competitions, go, well, okay, I'm going to set a goal that I want to achieve and do that. Like, for my event, it was easy. I could... we threw different weighted hammers, for example. So even though we had a competition hammer that weighed 7.265 kilograms, I might throw a 9-kilogram hammer in the competition. And if I threw 65 meters with that, that would be a good throw for that time of the year and using those heavy hammers. So we would mix things up, but it's like anything. Athletes are meant to compete. And that's the great thing about team stuff, isn't it? You get to compete most weekends, whereas in some sports, you only sort of got a window to compete. So we would use training as competition, and we would use our local interclub. I used to love competing every week in local interclub here in SA.
Another question is in regards to athletics. For the Olympics, they have qualifying times. You've got to reach qualifying standards to being a chance to make the Olympics. And I always wondered, what about those specific athletes who aim for an Olympics and they have a little bit of a start off slow, get faster and faster. They're leaving it late to peak to get a qualifying mark, aren't they?
Australian athletes had to get used to like double periodization. So we would normally, because our summer season is when we would compete, which was opposite to the European, where most of the Olympics are held in the Northern Hemisphere. So we would have to get used to a double peak. And so we would often peak for our summer, and you would have, okay, at our national championships were often the selection trials for the Olympics or whatever major competition was being held that year. You were trying to get that qualifying time, distance, height in that sort of 2-3 week window. And if you didn't make it then, often we had to go and then compete in the European competition summer to try and get that distance or time, whatever it might be. So we sort of got used to having a double periodization or peaking twice a year. And of course, if you got to a certain level where you could reach that qualifying and not being, that wasn't to be at your very best, that was always a good thing. Because you could get the qualifying under your belt and know that you've met the selection criteria, and then, of course, you could start your preparation for the major competition.
One of the things that always amazes me is when I see an elite athlete being interviewed after a race where they've won the race and they've won it comfortably and they're looking sensational, and then the athlete says, oh, I was a little bit below par today. I mean, what type of standards do these guys set for themselves?
Again, it's a different mindset, because you can win a competition and know that you haven't run or jumped or thrown well, And that's okay. So winning is part of it, isn't it? And so sometimes you compete. I mean, we've all won any type of competition, not being at our best. But I think that's the hard thing, people getting ahead around the individual stuff, because you know exactly what you want to do and how it should feel and how it should be and the times you should get and what you're capable of. So I can, I mean, if you compare it to, say, I mean, you, many people have probably been in a winning team, even in a grand final, for example, and thought, you know, it's great our team has won, but if they reflect on their own performance, they probably thought, man, I didn't have the best game, but I'm still in a winning grand final team, and that takes, that's what you're after, right? But again, I remember many times thinking, okay, I won today, but I haven't thrown very well. I actually remember saying to KG on radio that, and he was like flabbergasted that that could be the case. And I said, well, it's the same thing. And that's an analogy I use. Imagine playing a grand final, winning. Of course, you're excited, but knowing in yourself, geez, I could have played better. I could have helped the team more today, but I just didn't have my best day. So I think that's a normal thing for athletes, isn't it? I mean, if it's great when you win and you've done your absolute best and you can't do any more, and that's obviously what we're all after.
You know, I call it the eye of the tiger, because I remember watching the Rocky films and Rocky III, the eye of the tiger, beating all the odds, even though never quite satisfied. I think that's the difference in becoming a successful elite athlete, is having that eye of the tiger.
Well, it's, I can honestly say that I never had a perfect throw. Okay, so if you, and that's like it, that's can be frustrating and a weird idea, but I never felt, even the best throw I had, like distance wise, man, have I just done this a bit better or just done that? I could have improved there. And so there was this always sense of chasing perfection and never actually achieving it. And so there are events like that where, you know, like that's just the reality, like it's a technical event. And trying to get it spot on, where you go, no, I couldn't have done any more. I never felt that in that sense.
I think a lot of that stems from, I've interviewed a lot of sports athletes over the years, and one of the most common things I say when they've achieved something like a McGarry medal or gold medal or whatever is, it'll be something I'll treasure later on in life. In other words, they've put it in the back burner for now because they haven't reached their goals. They know they've achieved something, and they've just sort of say, well, that's for me to celebrate later on. I've got a job to do.
Yeah, look, I think, and that's which is a shame for athletes this year who aren't going to get to compete. And, you know, I hope there's not too many cases where athletes would have to retire and miss out on that opportunity to be at the Olympics, because it is that. I mean, it's, you know what you want to do, and there are things that will happen along the way. But, again, I was, in a weird way, once something had finished, I didn't really think about it. I was just, what's next? Okay, I'm ready for the next thing. And I always felt a bit weird that I didn't ever dwell on what had just happened or what you just achieved or whatever. It's, okay, I've done that. That was that job, and I've done that job, and now I'm ready for my next preparation for the next competition. And so I think you're right. You sort of, I certainly look back now at things and I'm proud of things that I had achieved. But at the time, it was just, okay, great, that's happened. Let's get on to the next thing.
Now, look, we're getting close to the finish of this show. I just want to touch on one thing, one more thing, and it's about drugs. Now, with the lack of drug testing at the moment, I would suggest there'd be certain athletes who would be using the drugs to sort of hammer their training at the moment to peak themselves up before they get off the drugs so that they can avoid testing.
That's a very controversial comment.
I'm not going to name anyone, but...
I'm not going to name. I don't know. I mean, but I, after competing for a long time at high level, when I was younger, I thought that the drug scene would be cleaned up. I mean, we've got places like Russia now who've been banned from Olympics. So we know that in some places it is rife. And, of course, with COVID-19, there's, like, you can't test people because of all the different things going on. And so I have no doubt in my mind that around the world there will be athletes going, okay, the only thing I can do right now is train. And if they have been using drugs before, they will be using them quite happily now in their preparation for next year's competition. So Let's hope that, and I've hoped for a long time, that the testing, the whole protocols will improve and they'll be serious. But who knows, we might actually see some really crazy performances next year.
Well, we'll just...
Because of things like
that. I'd have time and wait, mate. And look, it's been very interesting. Good little chat. Good little bit of insight there from yourself, Sean. So ends another Carlin Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.